Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MCSEs that works at Tab. And he comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We have four lines jammed up, so we're going to get right to your calls. Thank you for joining us on this first Saturday in the new year. Let's go on to Dave in Marlboro first. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing okay. How are you?
Happy New Year, and I love your show.
Thanks. You too.
I had heard about a month ago when you brought up the issue of the iOS updates. I have an iPhone 6, and the horror story that that guy told you about who tried to do it, and then his basically phone was not working too well. I've still avoided that upgrade based on, you know, his experience, and didn't know if that had gotten any better. And also, in the meantime, by avoiding it, now the iPhone is telling me I haven't backed up in a while, and I should back it up. Is the iPhone not backed up a kind of end run to make the upgrade come in, or should I avoid that too?
It could be. You know how the iPhone will go up into the cloud, right? The iCloud.
Right.
And a lot of the issues with the celebrities' naked nudies getting out was that they didn't realize that the iPhone was doing that. And then their iCloud account was hacked, and then their naked nudies were spread across the planet. To answer your question, would it be Apple? Would I put it past Apple to say you're not being backed up if you don't update your iOS? Of course, that would be perfectly normal for Apple to do that to you. Right? Hey, it's not backing up, man. Oh, the reason it's not backing up at the, you know, is because you're not current. That easily could be the reason. I'd have to look it up, though, to be sure. You'd have to take your iOS version and kind of do a Google search on backup stops based on the version that you're running. And then you'll find it if the internet's going to tell you if that's a truth or not. I would say you should upgrade your iOS for security reasons and for improvements. I mean, we all know Apple was caught with the throttling thing on the latest versions. So there's that too. How old's your phone, Dave?
Well, it's an i6, so I want to say it must be 5 years old.
Nice.
And I've been happy with it.
Of course.
I not had an issue with it. And like that last fella, when he did it, and all of a sudden it's not working well anymore.
I know.
Like, that's the last position I want to put myself into.
So do you ever connect it to your local computer?
No.
You can back it up that way. You can plug it into your local machine and copy data using iTunes. Okay. I suspect. I'm not an Apple guy, but I think that still works. Yeah. And you could back it up to your local computer. I recommend you do that anyways.
Okay.
And that way you can have your data protected that way in general.
Yeah.
It stinks that you're worried about updating your Apple device. It's 5 years old. I don't blame you for being concerned. It's sad that you have to be.
Right, because on the details with the update, it basically fixes bugs for the XR, the XS, and the XS Max. And so obviously it doesn't, you know, relate to me from that point of view.
Right, and it could be a larger update that then takes up more of your space on your iPhone 6 because they actually give these tiny little SIM cards to hold the operating system on, and that fills it up eventually too. So I really have no advice as far as whether or not you should or should not do it. It really comes down to your trust of Apple and if they're going to cause you issues. So I guess the big thing for you, Dave, is if you choose to upgrade, to call us back and let us know how it goes. If you don't upgrade, we'll put a link as to how to do a backup of your phone to your computer, and then you can keep waiting. But it, you know, Apple would like to protect you, quote unquote, from their flaws, which they do have.
Right.
And the updates, you know, are going to help you and other systems. So
okay,
it's hard for me to tell you, Dave. I don't know what's going to happen.
great. Well, I'm going to hold them and not fold them yet, and I'll back it up and then see how it plays out.
Yeah, that way you're at least protected for a local issue.
Right.
All right, Dave. Good luck, man.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, you got it.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, I wish I could give them experience. What phone do you have? What Apple do we have?
Seven.
You have a seven, so yeah, it's even...
2016.
Yep. Keep it running as long as it can, right? Let's go to Ocala, Florida, and Paul. What's going on down there, Paul?
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing fine.
Hey, long pants today. It's going to be high of 68.
No, oh.
Making fun of it, but that's the way it is.
Nice.
But it'll be back to normal. Anyways, I called you a couple months ago. I bought a HP Z2 G3 mini workstation, and I haven't hooked it up yet. It's an i7 processor, CAD
nice.
Ready, and dedicated graphics. Great machine.
Yeah.
My concern is protecting it now.
Mm-hmm.
A UPS and surge protector. I know what the difference is. Are they integrated in some units?
Yes. You can find UPSs and surge protection is in most of the UPSs by default. So if you get a nice UPS battery backup, a nice 500 or 350.
Most of them will have 6 or 8 outlets on them. And on one side, it'll say battery protected, and the other side will say surge protected only.
Right.
So you want to make sure that your essential equipment is plugged into the battery side.
Right.
And not any laser printers.
Right. You're going to kill the battery with a laser printer.
Well, not only that, but it draws so much power that it actually kills your UPS. It
yeah.
can burn it out.
Yeah.
And then the other one is the surge side only. So if it's important, don't plug it in anywhere and think that it's going to stay up and running when you lose power or you get a blip.
Right. Only the battery side.
Okay. I'm more concerned about it shutting down too fast with a surge and or the obvious issues with a surge.
Yeah.
The other is, what about the sine wave issue? I mean, you can get these things from 30, 40, 50, up to $100, $200. What are we really looking for?
For most users, you only need about 10 minutes. You just need to have time to shut it down cleanly.
And you can actually hook most of them up. You have a data cable that you connect to your USB on your computer that you can program how many minutes to stay up till the battery gets down to a certain percentage
right.
or so many minutes.
And then it'll tell the computer to shut down.
Okay, what's the difference with some of them say they have a simulated sine wave function and the other ones have a real sine wave? I mean, it makes a difference in the price.
Oh, yeah, big time.
What it does is it makes sure that you're getting clean power
right.
to your computer because dirty power can cause it to prematurely fail.
It'll scream too. So like when you're on generator power, that's a real dirty sine wave. If you try to put a computer in a boat, we have a client who had me out on his yacht, and I had to connect a computer to the system out there, and the power system on the yacht, the DC power system, put out a really nasty sine wave. And so it would cause the UPS to really have a problem because it was just couldn't handle it. So that simulated one, I think, helps clean up the power, like Bob said, and produces a better flow of electricity. You shouldn't need any of that for what you're doing, Paul. You just need, you know, $150 UPS with enough time to shut your machine down should you lose power. Within, you know, 5 or 10 minutes is all you really need.
Okay. Two other quick things, if I can.
Yeah.
I have Alexa down here, and that's one reason. When I was up in Bristol and called you last time, I've been listening at my sister's house and through Alexa, and it was great. But yeah. Alexa doesn't like to find you guys because if I ask for News Talk 1080, they give me 96.5 FM. So I finally figured out if I go to Alexa and I tell her to open up radio.com, he says, what do you want to listen to? And I says, WTIC News Talk 1080, then I get it.
Well, yeah, we've heard that there are some ways you have to train Alexa to find us, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
There is the right way, and I can't remember exactly what it is, but that's a way to do it. The way you're doing it is perfectly good.
Okay, the other thing is 2 weeks ago, I was driving around Ocala listening to you guys live.
Nice.
I got a 2017 Buick Envision with all the bells and whistles, Android Auto, and I have Wi-Fi in it, and I put my phone on radio.com, and
nice.
I listen to TIC AM 1,200 miles away.
I love it. You got to love that technology.
I do. I do. And I thank you for your help and your show. Have a good new year and stay warm.
Thanks, Paul. You too.
Did you used to live in Connecticut, by the way? You're from Ocala, Florida.
Yeah, Bristol.
Well, no, I was snowboarding for a few years. Now I'm down here permanently for personal. My wife passed last year. So.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know if I'm going to go back up there permanently or snowboard it some more, but I only have one house now and Mm-hmm. Gosh, the warm weather is inviting.
And the taxes.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, one thing for people talking about moving to Florida, you have to look at one thing, too, though. Florida's violence rate is outrageous compared to Connecticut.
Violence rate?
Violence, yeah. Violent crime rate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Ocala. I'm in Ocala, and our violent crime rate is like 7.6 per 1,000 population. Or there's 100,000. 7.6. Yeah. Bristol is 0.92.
Gotcha.
So there's a big difference. So you got to consider that to where you live. And
that's true. Yeah, you got to think of all the factors, Paul. Good point.
But the taxes are great.
All right, sir.
Okay. Take care. Have a good year. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Yeah, I've heard that before, actually. I was in Orlando, and we were at a I don't know what we're doing. Oh, we were getting some sort of tchotchkes at a, you know, one of those places that sells you suntan lotion and sunglasses. And we're talking to a local, and he's like, you know, Orlando's nice, but the violence. I'm like, holy moly! Everyone talks about the. It's like the. We went to Daytona, and it was like the they called it the child kidnapping capital of the world. I was yikes!
They have the castle doctrine down there, and they have stand your ground.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you could affect that, I guess. So let's get take a quick break here. We're going to go to a quick break and get back to your calls. Tom, Richard, and Tom, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock, so stick around. Let's go to Tom in Harlington next. Hey, Tom.
Happy New Year.
You too.
Hey, I wanted to ask you something last week, but you weren't on, and you talked about it at 9:15 this morning.
Yeah.
It has to do with that window that pops up that says, allow location access.
Right.
It seems to me the correct answer is do not allow.
It could. It could be that, depending on the app you're using. So if you're using
PC, desktop.
Oh. Well, yeah, you can always say do not allow if you don't want to have that.
The odds are that's all over the map anyway.
Right.
Because when those pop up on my home computer, it says I'm living somewhere up in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the IP address is owned by Comcast, mm-hmm. and that's where Comcast says that IP address is residing, not in my house.
Right.
And I have a static public IP address that I'm renting from them, and I'm paying good money for it every month.
Right. But they don't know where you are, Bob. That's nope. good. So you can allow it or not. When you're not moving anywhere with your computer, it doesn't really matter.
So is there a way to block it? Because I'm tired of having to respond to it.
Well, what it is, it's the site that you've gone to
right.
is trying to track you.
Trying to know where you are.
Right.
So you can choose do not track. Maybe that'll help with that information.
Yeah, you can. There's a setting in your browser that you can set, depending on what browser you're using. So you can block that.
That should do it.
In Firefox.
Oh, yeah. There's a do not tracking option. And see if you click that on, it might help. Okay. But you may just be stuck always answering that question on certain websites because they want to know where you are so they can sell your information to somebody else.
And you know, the worst thing is, I'll use Red Robin as an example. Every single screen I go to, no matter what I click on their website, they pop up that every single time.
Wait,
it isn't like do it the first time.
Wait a minute. Red Robin, the guys that have that amazing onion rings?
They have amazing
the onion
burgers.
Ring towers, yeah.
Yeah, the burgers are fine, but the onion rings are awesome.
Unlimited bottomless fries.
Bottomless fries, yeah, they have a lot of great things. So why they want to know where you? They want to know where you are constantly, huh, Tom?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
What they want to do is they want to pop up an ad every time you go by a Red Robin. Say, come in, we have a special.
Yeah, Tom's a hot one. He's actually on our website. That could be true. Yeah, who knows?
Well, see, that's not going to work because I don't have a cell phone.
Oh, yeah. Well, they don't know they're wasting their time on you, Tom. But, yeah, you can turn on the do not track. That might be helpful.
I'll give that a shot. Thanks a lot.
You got it, sir. Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah, Red Robin wants to know where you are at all times.
Well, them and a lot
of Are you hungry now? Turn in here.
Buy the McDonald's app. Or download the McDonald's app for free.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That app, I'm not sure where it's at yet, but it'd be beautiful to be able to bring up the app, place your order, and go through the drive-through and just pick it up. You know that, or even go to a parking spot and just have them. Hey, here you are, sir. I knew
you can
coming.
Do that at Wawa.
I heard that. Yeah, I heard that. I'm sure it's coming to a McDonald's near you. Let's go on to Tom in Southington, my hometown. What's going on, Tom?
I have an HP computer that I bought back in the summer of 2017.
Okay.
And the only reason why I use it is to go on WordPerfect to use the word processor.
WordPerfect?
Yeah.
Okay, that's an older one.
Well, it's Microsoft Word.
Oh, Word, okay. Okay.
So, but lately, for about the last couple months, I've tried to go on it, and I get a screen that comes up that says, your subscription has expired. Most of the features of Word has been disabled. Choose an option below to reactivate. I can either hit, I want to renew or buy Office. I have a product key, or add this computer to an active account.
No Word for you.
Right.
Yeah.
But then if I go on to the document, I can access the document, but if I want to make any changes, if I want to type anything or add on to it or take anything off,
you're locked
out.
I
can't because it says you can't make this change because the selection is locked.
Isn't that great?
So what you have is the free Word viewer.
So it's almost like Microsoft is holding my computer for ransom.
It is. It exactly is. It's saying you can use Word as long as you pay us forever, sir.
Right.
This is the subscription model that Microsoft is very happily trying to force you into. You can do two things.
Is there any way to get around this, or do I have to fork over money?
You have to pay. So Microsoft is due payment of some kind. You either buy their Word editor, which you can buy once, the home and business version, walk into any Staples and say, I want the off-the-shelf copy, retail copy of Home and Business. It'll be either 2019 or 2016, whenever they're offering you. Pay for it once, because Microsoft is due their money to pay for the tool, and you can run that for as long as you like.
Now, you're going to have to register an account online.
You will.
And it'll register that key to you.
Right.
Make sure you document the email address and the password you use for that account and register it. So otherwise, if something happens to your computer and you need to reload it, and you don't remember what email account and all that other stuff that you created, you will lose it and have to pay for it again.
Right. So Bob's right. Make sure you do your documentation. Or you can tell Microsoft to pound sand and say, I'm going to use...
Yeah, because, what happened was is that I got the computer off of the Home Shopping Network.
Uh-huh.
And they included a package of all kind of Microsoft programs and stuff, like a cooking app or cooking program and a travel program and stuff like that. And one of the words was Microsoft or Microsoft Word.
Yeah. It's trialware.
It's all trial.
The only reason why I wanted it. So,
You got kind of baited and switched.
Does that constitute a trial? They gave me?
Yeah, it's a bait and switch. They didn't do anything wrong. They sold you. They gave you maybe a 90-day or 180-day
30-day
subscription to something that they didn't tell you you're going to have to pay for the rest of your life.
Oh.
or you buy the software, or you tell them to pound sand, and you say, I'm going to use Google Docs. I can write
it. But what happened was is that actually I took my computer over to my friend's house where they have a Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And I was able to start the computer and work on it perfectly. But then if I take it to a place where I don't have Wi-Fi and I'm not hooked up to their, to the Wi-Fi account and everything, that's when it won't work.
Interesting. Yeah, it wants to talk back to the mothership.
It has to phone home before it lets you work.
That's crazy. and you're trying.
I'm wondering. do I have to be at a place where there's a Wi-Fi?
For Google Docs, you would.
To be able to use it?
For Google Docs, you would. And I assume you're on the internet, right, Tom, at home?
No, I don't.
You have no internet at home.
I have internet on my phone.
Interesting.
So,
but it takes sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes you can't get a signal.
I have
to be near a window to be able to get a signal.
So the answer is yes. You're going to have to be near internet to have this work, or you just buy the software, like I suggested.
Well, there's a third option, of course. You had the Google Docs,
but he needs the internet for that.
There's also OpenOffice that you can download for free.
You have to go over to your buddy's house. So go to your buddy's house again with your computer, download OpenOffice for free, and then again you can tell Microsoft to pound sand.
Oh.
That's a nice way to do it.
Around it. I mean, that's the only thing I was worried about. I was just trying to be able to get around it without having to worry about it.
Yeah.
So.
Download OpenOffice. It's a different flavor of a Word editor, of a document editor.
But then will I be able to move my documents from Word over to it?
You
or
should
no?
be able to, yes.
Most of the features are compatible.
Yeah, I'll put air quotes around should. Depends on how current your version is of the document. But
it's done, but it's free. It's Apache OpenOffice, and we'll put a link up for you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But go to your buddy's house, download it there, and then see if it works.
Okay, we'll do.
All right, Tom.
Okay, all right, thanks a lot, guys.
Our pleasure, good luck.
All right, thanks.
Yep, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Not often we find somebody who doesn't have internet at home.
Right. Well, you know, he's not in a very good area when you have to put your phone up in the window.
Yeah, thanks. That's not good. All right, let's go to, we got a couple minutes before the bottom of the hour. Let's go to Richard in Berlin next. Hey, Richard, what's up?
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hi, happy new year, and I just wanted to let you know, I think you guys have the best show on radio.
Well, thank you.
I'm calling because I was hacked the weekend before Christmas.
Well, no fun.
And I spent, I don't know how many hours trying to get that rectified, but I heard something about a password manager or password protector type thing that might be useful for preventing something like this in the future.
Well, I want to get my can we get into more of this? We're coming up against a hard break, Richard. Sure. I miscalculated. So I'd love to hear about what happened to you on your hack and then what you're trying to solve. If you can hold through the news, would that be okay?
Yeah.
All right, good. I think you're going to help a lot of other folks too. So I'm going to put Richard back on hold, and we'll take him back after the news. Stay on line there, Guy and Danny. And hey, Danny, we saw the Falcon X go off over the cruise ship that we took off. So Danny, you'll like to hear that. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back. This is Computer Talk. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. We're going to go right to back to Richard in Berlin, who sounds like he has a story for us. Are you there, still there, Richard?
I'm still here.
So explain what you mean you got hacked over Christmas, because then you want to try to protect something now with your passwords. What do you think happened?
Well, it started early Sunday morning, about approximately 3 or 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
My phone beeped. It was a push notification, and it was from my bank that said, did you authorize a payment of $700-some-odd to such-and-such company? And I texted back, no.
Yeah, right, okay.
I didn't think anything of it because, you know, I've seen things like that before.
Right, because somebody tried to use your debit card, right? That's a debit push?
It was, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I went to the gym, came back, having some coffee at home, and I started getting slammed with more push notifications. My email was blowing up from Amazon, eBay, the credit cards, the banks, all asking if I did this about password changes.
Oof.
You know, did you do this? Did you do that? And I spent the rest of the morning and into the early afternoon trying to combat what was going on.
That's horrible. Okay.
Let me ask you a question. Were you using the same password on all your accounts?
Similar passwords. I mean, they're, you know, like a compilation of several passwords that I use.
Okay. And that might be part of the issue if you use similar ones. Okay. So now you've got it all straightened away. You've changed all your passwords on all those systems, right? You've changed your email password, I assume.
I've done that. And I've also, in every case that I can, do the two-step notification.
Yep, two-factor. Good.
Yep.
That's really good. So you've definitely improved your chances of being more locked down here.
Right.
And you've used different passwords. So now you want to try to find a tool to manage all these new passwords you came up with, right?
Well, yes. I did find a tool. I was watching, I think it was the Today Show, probably on New Year's Day.
Okay.
And they were talking about some kind of a password protector. I don't know the exact term for
password manager.
Yes, exactly. So I don't know if I can mention the name of it.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Keeper.
Okay.
So, you know, I did a little bit of research on, I don't know, CNET or one of those websites, and
good.
Keeper came up with, you know, pretty good rating. So I downloaded it.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed as though it had, you know, some pretty good features. I can't figure the thing out. I mean, it's downloaded. It seems to be active, but I can't. I thought it was supposed to basically jumble my password each time I got onto a website or a Chase credit card
right.
whatever, any kind of a site. It was supposed to jumble. All I had to know was the keeper password, and I was all set.
Right, and then it would pass. Then it passes your other individual passwords to the site that it's on. So it's trying to offer you, correct?
Something like that, yeah.
Is it working?
I can't figure it out. I mean, I guess I could go through all of the reading material that that is associated with it, but I don't have the patience for that. I know I should because, you know, I certainly need to protect myself. I thought I was protected, and you know, I want to make sure that going forward I'm as close to 100% protected as possible. I suppose that's not really feasible, but
well, the key is to always use different passwords. So these big companies get hacked all the time, and they're in the cloud, right? So they're a big target. So if you happen to use Yahoo and your password was 12345, well, they know Richard at whatever you are at used that password, right? 12345. So what they're going to do is try to find you at other locations like Amazon and say, oh, okay, I'm going to try to log in as Richard over here and see if he used that password. Oh, he did. Now I can start buying stuff. So half the battle is not using the same key at all the same places. The password manager, the tool you're trying to use, can definitely be something that helps you with all this. Or you can just use a notebook and write them down in a little notebook.
I use a Rolodex, and I'll be honest with you. My opinion is, and I know that everybody has a different opinion, but my opinion is if it's software that's made by people, there's a back door in there somewhere that some hacker can figure out. So I'd rather not have it on a computer. I'd rather have it. In order to get my passwords to all my accounts, somebody would have to break into my house and take my Rolodex.
Right, and that's old school, and that's a way that they can't access your stuff. To make it simpler, I'd have to research Keeper to see how it's used. I don't use a password manager. I use a manual method as well. Recently, another password managing tool was hacked themselves, very embarrassingly. So the management tool was hacked. They say people's passwords weren't impacted, and I can put a link up to that article. LastPass, they're also known as a good password manager. They've had issues with being hacked. So the problem is now you've got a great target, right? Keeper would be a great target for hackers to hack, right? Because all your passwords are there. It all depends on how they hash the information, how they salt it, how they encrypt it so that your data is not leaked out some way. But I don't know how to use Keeper. I've never used it. We can do some research on it to help you, or just use an old school tool where you write your passwords down and use them as needed. I mean, are you constantly finding yourself logging into all these services on a just how old are how old are you, Richard? You know, are you like in your 30s?
Into you know bank accounts to monitor what's going on to bank accounts, credit cards.
Yeah, but the credit cards
even before I was hacked, I did that.
Obviously,
I wanted to make sure things were on the up and up.
Yeah, and they were and they reported to you very well. Hey, something's going on here. Something's going on here. Is this okay? Which is good stuff that you set it up.
Right.
But if are you in your 30s or are you older?
Older.
Okay. I wasn't sure of how often you go online to check all these things. That's why I asked. I mean, if you look at
daily.
most millennials are constantly poking into their systems. You're looking at it daily. So what do you got, Bob?
I got just pulling up a link. It said 9 popular password manager apps found leaking your secrets.
Oh, geez.
Oh, great.
So.
Yeah, and Keeper is one of them.
So, you know, I don't trust them. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, anything that makes it, quote unquote, easier could also lower your security.
Ease of use and security are diametrically opposed.
Yeah. So you can also try to remember, if you use a tool in your own mind, like sentences and phrases as a password based on the thing you're logging into. So, you know, if you're logging into your bank account, you could use I'm always broke as your password or something like that. But use it, you know, mixing up letters and words and numbers to not just be the words I'm always broke. You use, you know, zero for the O you know, a number for the, you know, for any other of the letters and then add an exclamation point or some sort of crazy character. So if you can link phrases with where you're going, you know, Amazon, you know, takes all my money, whatever you want to come up with, that can help you manage your passwords and make them very complicated, that nobody's going to be able to hack that. Unless the individual site is hacked and then your phrase is released, but it's only one phrase per site.
Right.
You know,
I know you guys are not big on Apple, but I do have an iPhone and
sure.
The notes feature allows you to lock put a lock on the notes and, you know, you have to put a password in.
Uh-huh.
Do you feel that that would be a safe place to store passwords?
So if the notes are uploaded to the iCloud there, if that data is uploaded to that site and they've already found themselves hacked, right? So if I can get into your iCloud account and that notes information is there as your backup, then my answer to you would be no.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, I heard you speaking earlier about the iCloud and you know, the issue that gentleman had with the iOS.
Yeah.
I was thinking yes, I do back up to the cloud and to iTunes.
Yeah.
But you are able to say no to backing up on the cloud.
Right.
And just backing up on the computer. So
then it'd
when
be safe.
Home, I plan on doing that.
Right. Because the iCloud has been hacked numerous times. So be careful with that. Yes. I don't know if they're encrypting it or doing a better job these days. I'm sure they're trying to, because Apple is known generally for being more interested in protecting your data. That is one of their marketing approaches and one of the things they do stand behind. They seem to stand behind. So, but I would say be careful.
I know you have other callers, but I do have one other
comment
/ question.
Uh-huh.
You know, I listen to you guys constantly and since day one, and you know, you mentioned how emails, the safest emails are the ISP providers, I guess, like Comcast, Cox, that kind of thing.
It seems to be more safe because they're more interested in you as a customer than the cloud Yahoos, the Googles, the free stuff that you're getting, I would contend, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you could try something called Proton, which is a Swiss-based email service that's been developed by MIT, which offers a free encrypted email service. That's also been very highly rated. But what were you going to say?
Well, you know, prior to being hacked, I felt, you know, because I use Comcast, that I was fairly safe. I also use Malwarebytes, and I started using NordVPN sometime in 2018.
Yep.
So I felt pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
It's my belief that the hacker got in through my email.
Possibly.
And rummaged around in my folders where I keep information.
So, Richard, if your email password was another password that you used in some other site that was hacked, like LinkedIn, let's say you're on LinkedIn, and your email password, you know, you're logging into Comcast, it was the same as your LinkedIn password, that's on you. That's what happened. All that password information is all over the dark web. And if they've gotten it and you use the same password in multiple places, all they need to do is find that one password that happens to be the same as your email password, and you're nailed. So your email password needs to be the most complex, pain in the hiney password you've ever had to type. And you got to write it down on the folder in your drawer where you stash the bill for Comcast. And it should be the most difficult password you can type in there, because you use it nowhere else.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Most likely you used it somewhere else and that's how they got in. Or they got it through browsing, some sort of key logger where you don't have OpenDNS running and they captured your information when you happen to type in a password. Again, you've used somewhere else that is also your email password.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the only thing I could think of.
Is there a way to check for a key logger on your machine?
There are tools. Yeah, Malwarebytes will generally find them if there are.
Yeah.
But I would bet you.
I ran that several times and it came up with nothing.
Yeah, then I would bet you they either guessed your password or you use it somewhere else that was already hacked and they applied it to your username and password and that's how they got in.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to guess.
Yeah.
Or you gave it to them. You were phished by something that says, hey, Richard, I need you to update our information. Please enter your information now. And you keyed it in for him. That's also very common. That's how the Democrats were hacked with the email recently, the whole Democratic email system that got hacked. They just gave the bad guys the password. They asked them for it, and they gave it to them.
Mm.
That could happen too.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to check out this Proton
and
obviously take your advice on, you know, making sure my email or my passwords are different for various sites and apps and all.
Right. What is your password, by the way?
You know, it's out there. You'll find it.
All right, Richard. Thanks for the call, bud.
All right. Thanks very much.
You got it.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, the big thing about that, different passwords everywhere. If any site ever emails you ever to confirm your account and you click on that link, you're giving the bad guys the information. No company should ever do that for you. It's called a phishing scheme, and they're hoping you're going to type in the information. We're going to step out for a quick break. Danny, Guy, and Jack, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Let's get right to your calls. Let's go to Guy in West Hartford. Hey, Guy. Guy, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up, sir?
Hey, Happy New Year, Eric.
You too.
Bob and all listeners. Hey, by the way, I do use Keeper for the last caller's password manager.
You like it?
Two ways. One, I have a personal copy of my iPhone, and then I've got a shared copy. It's nice to have something that multiple people can access if you're sharing passwords.
Cool.
Right. Anyway, my question has to do with your opinion on the reliability of SSDs these days.
Yeah.
I've got a an office computer, and I was burned in the past by OCZ and Samsung maybe 3-4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
where the SSDs would crash and burn
prematurely,
and leave me hanging.
Yeah.
But now we've got Samsung Evo, Western Digital Blue, and mm-hmm. I've got an office computer that I want to keep running kind of day and night and not let it sleep so we can access it remotely.
Yeah, we're still pretty big fans of SSD. We've had very good luck with them in general. We like the Samsung Pro versions of SSDs in our high-end machines that we build for our clients, for whether it be for CAD or very high-end computing. And they've done very well. They've lasted a good long time. In the old days, the early days, yeah, SSD had issues with reliability, but I think that's changed now. And we stick with Samsung, the Pro series of SSDs.
Yeah, sounds good. If the computer is running and not sleeping, I'm worried about the old-fashioned disk drives just sitting there spinning 24 hours a day.
Well, believe it or not, we have clients that we can't convince to change their servers that have been running for 10 years, almost never turned off with the spinning hard drives. SCSI hard drive technology is still amazingly bulletproof. But yes, consumer-grade hard drives are not meant to last that long and run for that long.
They're designed to fail in 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you look at the averages, 3 years or probably about a 2-3% failure rate overall. So that means one out of 30 or 40 is going to fail.
Yep. But SSD, yeah, the Pro version of Samsung seems to be very good.
I'm not sure what Dell is. Dell sells them based on some level of they have a 20 rating, a 30 rating, and a 40 rating.
No idea what Dell's doing for ratings. We've been building machines competing against Dell forever. Don't know what the rating system is that they're using.
Well, what they're doing is they're overcharging for the same Samsung Pros that you're getting for at cost.
They're building. That's why I tell our clients, I'm like, you can buy a Dell, but all they're doing is buying the same components we are and slapping a Dell logo on it. So I would say pick up the component yourself and move on.
Okay. Well, sounds good. Thanks for help.
All right, Guy. Thanks.
Right, take care.
Bye-bye. All right, let's move on to Jack in Glastonbury next. Jack, what's up? Jack, you there?
Yeah.
What's up?
I just had to switch off speaker. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Quick question. I've got my strategy for backup is I have two 1-terabyte hard drives, USB connected.
Mm-hmm.
And my original idea was I could alternate. I do backups once a month, so I was going to alternate between each one, but because of the way Windows 7 backup uses a full, that wouldn't be very efficient. So I switched to one where I just back up monthly on one hard drive, and then at the end of the year I switched to another hard drive.
At the end of the year?
At the end of the year,
oof.
Yeah. Okay.
You're putting all your eggs in that one basket, Jack.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's okay. Well, let's talk about that because if I was to use Windows backup, in order to switch drives, you have to do a full every time. You see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that? So you think that's a better approach, like do a full each time you do the backup and just alternate between the two drives?
Yeah, because if your backup is bad on that one drive, guess what I got to restore from?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Okay. Quick question on that, related to that, is I was cleaning up this hard drive to get it ready to use again, because I've got 1 year's worth of data that's gone. I mean, so I just erased off the backup stuff, deleted mm-hmm. it off. Doing a permanent delete, shift delete, and cleaned up the hard drive, but it shows a lot of space on there. It's like mystery. It doesn't add up to the amount of what it shows is free is less than what it should be based on what I deleted. So I looked for hidden files and I brought them up, but I couldn't figure out why the amounts weren't tallying correctly, the free versus the used space. I had more used space than what I thought. And you guys got any ideas on why that would be?
You never get what the size of it. So if you have a terabyte drive, you might get like 960.
Yeah, that's what it shows is the total.
Right.
But I'm getting a number like, let's say, another 100 gig that I cannot account for. It doesn't show up as hidden files or anything.
Well, what about formatting it, Jack?
Well, that's what I want to ask you. I was just going to go ahead and just do a format. On a drive that large, is it going to take a lot of time to do it? It's a USB connected type of thing.
You can do a quick format or you can do a full format. Full format takes more time.
Yeah, one should solve it.
Quick format just erases the fat table.
Yeah, the fat table. Okay. And that should be good enough, right?
Yeah, it should be. And see if it solves your issue. If it does, you win. If it doesn't, do a full format and do it overnight.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, I'll just start doing alternate full backup.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
You need multiple shots at your data, and two is better than one.
Yeah.
But even two is not a lot, but it's better than one.
All right, okay. Either that or I buy a RAID hard drive, right?
You can buy a rated NAS system.
But
again,
that's not
same,
a backup.
That's not a backup. No. It's not a backup in your system. Correct, yeah. You need to have external backups, Jack, and remove the multiple media sources. So we got to go, but I hope that helps you, sir.
Yep, thanks a lot.
You got it. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning, first one in the new year. Thank you, Matt, for producing. And thank you, Mike G., for posting everything live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com, the name of the show.com, which also works. If you follow us on Facebook and you like us at Tab Computer Systems, Mark Zuckerberg might get into your newsfeed.
See you next week.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.